Welcome back, everyone, to a Last Word Soccer Club 1v1 interview. I'm here with Jeremy Alamba, the general manager for St. Louis FC. How are you doing this afternoon, Jeremy?
I'm doing all right, guys. Appreciate taking the time to visit with me a bit.
Oh, well, thank you again. We're always glad to have you back on the show. Hopefully later this season we'll be discussing a preview for St. Louis FC playoffs, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves on that. I noticed a theme recently with some of the players and the coaching staff, as well as yourself, about wanting to establish a family atmosphere and really a close connection with the supporters in the city, especially with the kids. I suppose some of my English friends would use the term, you know, it's a ma-and-pa club. What have you observed about this relationship, both in games and at other events, and you know, how much of this sort of as a philosophy has gone into everything that the organization has done so far this year?
Yeah, I would think the biggest thing is, I think we're a soccer club. I don't know if I characterize this as a mom-and-pa club or, you know, solely kid-friendly. I think football in general, when you go to games in England or Holland or wherever you go, there's always a lot of kids there because, let's be honest, us 40-some-year-olds aren't playing the game right now. So it's we're fans of it, we're students of it, but it's the young ones that are playing and they're the future. So, you know, I think we try to provide a very soccer peer thing. You know, we're not doing goofy promotions in the bleachers or stopping the game and stuff that way. But I think it is a great place for kids to come to because I think a couple of things. One, the Lilligans set the tone. It's loud and their chants are great. They're stadium friendly. They're, you know, they express their opinion when a referee makes a bad call and they get on guys from the other team. And but it's done in a way that's really, really strong for the team. They're more about us than they are, you know, other things. But, you know, they have their rivals and they have their little discussions. But I think they set the tone, and I think kids like, you know, they like noise. And I think our stadium is fairly loud. We wish it would be louder, but it's pretty good. But I think, you know, kids like coming here. For the other reason is they're on top of the action. You're not sitting 200 yards away, and you can see the players and you can hear them talk and you can see things and stuff. So I think it is a good environment for that. But one of our goals is all along has been, you know, we're going to try to attract the soccer fans first. And then we're going to, you know, we want to get after the millennials, and then we want to get after, you know, soccer families. So I think we've accomplished that in bits and pieces. We got some work to do still on some things, but we're, you know, pretty excited where we're at this point.
Excellent stuff. Now, the club's obviously been to a few activities in the community. I've noticed on Twitter they've done a few hospital visits. Several of the players appeared at the women's national team friendly at Busch Stadium last month. What's been the response like from the community at some of these events? And do you think that which ones do you think have been the most successful or the most fun for the players and the fans involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get involved in the community because those are the people that are going to come and support you. And we also do it because for us, it's brand awareness. But, you know, the number one reason is, you know, our president, Jim Cavanaugh, said from the get-go that guys that play here for this team are going to be involved in community. And whether that's things like you mentioned, Matt, you know, going and delivering baskets to a young child who's in a hospital for a long stay, or, you know, going out to a veteran's home and visiting with people, or playing in a charity golf tournament for a fundraiser, you know, for a nonprofit group. We try to do all different kinds of things because our guys come from all different types of backgrounds. So we try to be out there as much as we can. And we get a lot of requests, and I think that shows that this town, you know, really likes, you know, soccer, which we all knew, and we just, you know, we're starting to see it again. But I think they like having our players out there, and I think our guys are, you know, do a good job of interacting and being around people and, you know, and setting a good tone of what we're about. But I can't really say one of them has been, you know, better than the other. I think we went to the women's national team game, and, you know, Busch Stadium is a special spot for a lot of people from St. Louis. And, you know, but that was also cool for James Musa because it was New Zealand's, you know, women's team. And, you know, he plays for their men's team. So there's a lot of elements. And I think, see, anytime there's kids involved, though, I think it's special. So when they were at the children's, you know, hospital, and we're going to be doing some more with our medical, you know, partner Mercy, and we have some more things. But anytime there's kids involved, whether it's signing an autograph at a clinic or, you know, giving a hug to a kid in the hospital, I think those are special moments that really tie our guys into everything.
Absolutely. And then one thing I've been to, a number of MLS games throughout the country, and occasionally you'll get the not to point fingers at some of the bigger expensive DPs, but they'll hang around for a couple minutes maybe to sign a few autographs. But the fact that, I think especially at the home opener, I want to say some of the players were out there on the field for maybe 20 minutes afterwards, making sure that, every kid or group got a picture or got an autograph with whatever they wanted. So from that standpoint of me as an observer, being a media member on the field, I think that's good to see. Obviously there are a lot of St. Louis natives and several SLU alums on the roster. Richard Dixon had a wonderful Bob Marley impression at the Women's Friendly. Whoever was filming that, I don't know why they stopped. Some of the players have been very active on Twitter, and they from what I can see, they're enjoying these events and they're thankful for the support that they've gotten, both at the soccer park and around the community. How have the players sort of felt about those outreach programs? Has anybody been really gung-ho and excited about, some of the events they've had?
Yeah, they enjoy it. I mean, they enjoy being out and about. I think they feel a lot of pride for playing in St. Louis, whether they're from here or they're not. And we said from the get-go, we couldn't do service to our club and only sign guys from St. Louis. That's just those days are long, long gone. Not everybody that plays at Man U is from Manchester, obviously. Not everybody that plays Chicago Bulls is from Chicago. So those days are gone, and I'm pleased to see our community accept these guys into their home, into St. Louis, that aren't from here. But they all have very St. Louis backgrounds, as we've said. They're hardworking people. They're honest. They're very appreciative of people that come out and pay money to support them and watch the games and cheer them on. And we don't get that goal in the 82nd minute the other day if this place is empty, because those guys pushed us to find that little special, serve and that special run to get it. So the guys are appreciative. And they're, like you said, some of them are very active on social media, when they're out about doing things. And it's good to see, talk to someone that, he's been around a little bit, so he knows how important it is to have a good fan base and a good supporters culture. And he does some things with the club. And he honestly, today I had a meeting with him and he just said, "Hey, coach, I need to talk to you after training today. Will you be here?" I said, "Yep." And he just came up with, he had two new community ideas that he wants to be involved with, that he's just, done some research and people have talked to him and he thinks are good things for us to get behind. So we're going to put those into play. Sam Fink's another one who, I think I saw a tweet from him a couple weeks ago and said, "Day off and an opportunity to give back to the community. Wouldn't have any other way," or something like that. And I think that just speaks to the type of guys we have. Look, they want to get away too and get their rest and, and find time to kind of shut it down. But they know without the community involvement that this is just another club, and we don't want it to be just another club. We want it to be the best club in USL, and that takes a lot of work, and it's good to see them just be accepted when they go out in the community and be excited about these opportunities.
Hear, hear. Now, suppose, okay, so I'm a fan. I want to know what events are coming up later this month or later this summer. Where should I go? Should I just be following the club on Twitter? Where do I get more information about these things?
Yeah, so, obviously social media has changed how things are communicated and what's out there. First of all, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website. We do one for season ticket members, and we do a general one, and that has all kinds of information. Our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, our YouTube, I think we do a really good job capturing our involvement and our videos. So the social media platforms, absolutely. Are the best avenues to find out what's going on. And we try to get the word out there as well. And summer in St. Louis is full of activity. So we really plan to be, out and about at some pretty neat events, both here at the soccer park and out in the community as well.
Excellent stuff. Now, moving along to what's been going on in the field, we mentioned that the team got their first home win this past weekend. They've now won two in a row. Prior to this, maybe a few frustrating results, a loss against Rochester. I think we feel a little bit about that maybe now that Rochester's, right at the top of the table and then, got a draw on the home opener. What's been the mood like in the locker room and at practice? And is there a sense of relief that the team finally got a result and put together a solid 90 minutes this past weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. And getting that result at home was good. I think we all had one eye on when was that going to happen, And I think the guys are so appreciative of the crowds and the enthusiasm and, the Lewigans and everybody that's here in the tailgating. They see it all and they want to reward those people with a win. And they couldn't do that in the first two games. And it was, Dale said in his postgame interview, it's been a monkey on our back and we've all been thinking about it. So to get that done and out of the way is a little bit of a relief. you know, there's been some, you know, some teams that, you know, struggle at home for whatever reason. And, you know, we don't want to be one of those teams. We want to be one that really locks it down here and puts a good product out there, but also gets results. So it was huge to get it done and just, you know, another boost for us and, you know, just another opportunity to get better. So it was really good to get that one done and out of the way.
Excellent. Now, I know everyone will be talking about the goal that he scored, but I've been really impressed with Sam Fink's play defensively. He and James Musa have started all six games, and they're actually the top two in minutes played for the team this season. What do you think of their play, and how has their growth as a center pack pair changed with each match they've played together?
Yeah, they're getting better. I think like everybody else in the lineup, they're getting more comfortable with each other. You know, center back is not an easy spot to jump in and play with someone that you've only worked with for 6 weeks. And they never played against each other. They never played with each other, you know, in a high school all-star game or anything. They didn't know each other. So that's a, you know, and then you know, they come from different countries. So that's a real challenge there. So I think it's a credit to both of them that they've been able to develop a pretty good partnership. I think for me, they're both good passers of the ball. They're both, you know, good overall soccer players. I think that they've made improvements in some of their just box defending habits. You know, they're a little better getting matched up in the box, winning some headers. You know, this is not an easy league to play in, and no league in the world is. I mean, you know, at some point in a game, a center back has to win a nasty tackle like James did at the top of the 18 on Saturday, and he took a card for it. At some point, a center back has to win a big header when he's not supposed to save a team or block a shot. You know, everybody wants to talk about the passes and you know, the build-up and where they play a ball to, but at some point, center back's a center back. And I think that, for me, the biggest thing is, A, their partnership, and then, B, that they both have, you know, attacked a few of the nasty parts of the game, if you will, a little bit more, and understanding that in this league, you're playing against some tough front runners, and I think, you know, we're better prepared to deal with those guys now than maybe we were, you know, 3 weeks ago. So that's, for me, that's the biggest plus to see that come along.
Excellent. Now, if I'm not mistaken, in the six matches this season, Musa has been the captain each of those games. What happened, or how did he stand out to sort of get the captaincy, and what have you seen out of him as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, that'd probably be a question best answered by Dale, because, you know, I'm not on the field every day with those guys. I'm not in the locker room before the game or after the game, so I think naturally James is a pretty good leader because of some of the environments he's been in. I mean, he was at Fulham as a youth guy. He's been in the Olympics. He's been with the full national team. So I think he brings some experiences that guys look to. I do think as a center back, you can be vocal and you can, you can organize and do some things there. And I think he's, you know, trying to do that and get better at it. But, you know, what I observe from my position is I think he's maturing into a leader. He's got some things to work on, but I think these last six games he's, you know, done better and better every game with it. And, you know, that's what we said beginning of the conversation, is we just want to, you know, keep improving and keep getting better. And I think he's doing that, and he's picking his moments to yell at a ref, and he's picking his moments to, you know, console a teammate or encourage him. And, you know, that's what captains have to do, is find that balance. And I think he's getting a little better at it for sure.
I would have to agree with you there. Now, this season, the Chicago Fire have sent three players down for the long term, as I understand it. Patrick Doody and Alex Kahn have been with St. Louis. They've made several starts, and then I believe they even had Greg Cochran for one or two matches as well. Do you have any thoughts on the three of them so far?
Yeah, they've all done well in difficult roles and assignments. You know, Patrick's been the most consistent here, day in, day out. You know, Alec had to, you know, fly from Tulsa to Chicago the one weekend because, you know, Sean Johnson had gotten injured. So he had to, you know, be the backup to John Bush on that Sunday. And that's not easy. You know, get on a bus, go down with your team in Tulsa, get 3 points, get a good win, and then get separated from your team, fly back to your other team, you know, be prepared to be a backup and, you know, see what happens in that game. And then, you know, Sean was out for a couple of days, so Alec had to stay up and train with them. But when he's been called upon here, he's done the job. I mean, he did a great job on Saturday night, did a great job in the Rochester game, just like Mark Pace has done a great job too. So I think it, you know, hasn't been overly easy for Alec though, because he's, you know, been in and out, no fault of his own or no fault of the Fire. Duty's here the most consistent, and you know, since he's gotten back from the injury, he's done very well. He's kind of locked down that left side, and he's getting forward well, and he defends well, and he's, you know, he's still, he's a rookie. That's the other thing we have to remember, is You know, this is his first year, so he's still learning it. And Greg, you know, Greg came down because we needed him. You know, we needed some help and, you know, in the first game there, and he came down and helped us out. And then when Brandon went down and got injured, you know, Greg had to step into center mid, which is where he played a lot in college, not as a pro, but he had to step in there for the Oklahoma City game, and then we shifted him to left back and put Oscar on the right. And so, I mean, and we just, you know, at the end of the game, we said, hey, Greg, appreciate you coming down. Thank you. And he's like, are you kidding me? Thank you. I love this. I love playing. I love getting after it. And he's been in the Fire, you know, 18-man roster their last two games. So he traveled to Kansas City, and he was in the 18-man roster this weekend. So he's, you know, he's getting, you know, he's getting something out of being down here, and he was appreciative of it. So, and that's what the relationship's about, you know. So it's been good to see.
Okay, that's good. One last question before we get out of here. The past week, the club announced the signing of another player, Gabe Hoffman-Johnson, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. This brings the roster to 26, if I can still count. I had trouble finding any reliable source on the USL rules and roster regulations. I suppose maybe it's, I don't know if they're practicing the same lack of transparency as MLS, but you know, is this it for as far as roster moves in the future for the club? And you don't have to give me any names. I can understand that completely. Can we expect any movement in the near future as far as signings in the summer or more Chicago Fire players moving up and down?
Yeah, I think, you know, so I think we are pretty transparent. It is a 30-man roster you're allowed of signed guys. Academy players that come from your academy or your affiliate academy do not count. But we're, you know, we're at, so we're well under. So we do have some room for another loanee from the Fire, whether it's a short-term one or someone for the remainder of the season, or if we want to make a move, you know, on anyone, you know, during the summer window, if that's always an opportunity. You know, Gabe is a guy that's been with us for a while. We just couldn't get all the paperwork finalized and everything. He adds some depth to us. He's a lefty, which gives us another lefty. And he's a smart kid and, you know, really brings a good presence around the guys in the locker room. So he's been with us a while. We just haven't been able to announce it, but yeah, we still have room if we think it's, you know, there's something out there that we need to do, and we have that flexibility still.
Excellent stuff. Well, folks, thank you all for listening to this interview. Unfortunately, Jeremy is not on Twitter, but if you want to keep up with everything associated with St. Louis FC, you can check them out at St. Louis FC on Twitter or stlouisfc.com. Thank you very much. Have a good evening and good luck.